excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Here goes, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Happy Monday. Flames Talk is back after a little hiatus. It's Monday, November 18th with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. It's Steinberg along with you on the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Hello, Mr. Vickers. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic. Having the best day ever. How about you, Patrick?
I'm really good. It's good to see you. It's good to be back after a little three-day hiatus last week. Awesome to be back, and awesome to be back on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and of course, our new friend, Seeker, and wherever you get your podcasts. We're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio. We just saw Dustin Wolf pick up his first shutout in the NHL. We just saw him post a 29-save shutout against the Nashville Predators on Friday. And finally, after so many near misses, he finally has his first shutout, which was very cool to see. So now, all of a sudden, there is an interesting conversation that has started to pop up. And I knew, I had a pretty good idea that as soon as Dustin Wolf... I had to do it. As soon as Dustin Wolf picked up his first shutout on Friday, I knew that this was going to be a topic come Monday. Because, and the topic that we're about to dive into is, should Dustin Wolf be in the Calder Trophy conversation? Is it too early for us Yahoos to be talking about the Calder Trophy? And does Dustin Wolf have an opportunity to be in the Calder Trophy conversation the rest of the year? And the reason why I knew this was going to be a conversation is because it's been building a little bit on Flames Talk postgame. And I've been asked after some of his good starts by some of our callers 4, 5, 6 times now, you know, do you think Dustin Wolf could win the Calder Trophy? Do you think Dustin Wolf will be a finalist for the Calder Trophy? Those types of conversations. And so now he's got his first shutout. Now he's got his kind of marquee moment in the NHL, and he's had a lot of good games in the league. Don't get me wrong, but that was kind of the signature moment for Dustin on Friday, and he deserved the shutout. He deserved to pick up the win, and he played really well. So I ask you on the text line at 960-960 to jump in, is it too early? And does he have a chance at winning the Calder Trophy? I'm curious as to what our loyal texters have to say. And here are the numbers, Vicks. Minimum 100 minutes played amongst goaltenders in the NHL. He is a .921 save percentage overall. That's tied for 10th in the NHL. At 5-on-5, his .955 save percentage is second overall. His 6.0 goal saved above expected in all situations is 14th overall at Money Puck, and his 8.3 goal saved above expected at 5-on-5 is 4th overall as per Money Puck. And suffice to say, those numbers put him number one in every category amongst rookies. So he's the best rookie goaltender so far, a month plus into the NHL season. And statistically, he's been one of the better goaltenders in the NHL, period, 1 month into the season. So I ask you, is this conversation that we're about to have too premature?
Yes, but he's also in the conversation, so you kind of have to hedge one with the other, because if the season ended today, which I know it doesn't, there's still 3/4 plus of a season to go, but Dustin Wolf has done everything in his power to be a part of the conversation, and I know he's not striving to be a Calder Trophy finalist. That's not where his mentality is. That's not what his end game goal is, but the fact of the matter remains, you laid out a whole bunch of the stats. Those are almost, and I'm not going to say that they are, those are almost creeping into Vezina territory, but certainly they're definitely putting him in the Calder conversation because of the body of work. Now, the only hiccup to the conversation after an 82-game schedule, from my perspective, if Dustin Wolf manages to keep this pace of play up, and there are going to be streaks where he's hot, there's going to be streaks where he's cold, but after 82 games, how many of those 82 has he started, and has he started enough to garner a nomination for the Calder as a result. Because as it stands now, he's played 50% of the games. Over an 82-game schedule, that's 41 starts. Is 41 starts enough to win the Calder? I don't think it is. Is it enough to earn a nomination? I think a lot of that will depend upon the rookie class, whether it's a Matvei Michkov, Logan Stankoven, Lane Hutson, so on and so forth. But you can't deny to this point of the season, Dustin Wolf has been far and away the most impactful rookie goaltender and has put himself into the conversation of being a Calder nominee.
Couple of clips for you. First of all, Dustin Wolf was asked about that on Monday after practice.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, sure, it's cool at the end of the day, but you know, at the end of the day, my job is to help our team get wins, help our team get to the playoffs, and you know, if that sort of extra stuff comes along with it, then great.
And that's exactly the answer you'd expect from most guys in this league, and specifically the type of answer you'd talk about Dustin Wolf, or you'd expect from Dustin Wolf. Like, I always appreciate how Dustin is honest with you at all times, especially when things are going well. Like, if he's playing well and you ask him how he's playing, he's like, yeah, I feel great. I think I'm playing well. But then it's always, like, that's to the side, and then right to teammates and right to what's happening in front of him and right to what's happening with Dan Vladar or whoever his tending mate is. And when things are bad, it's like, I'm the worst thing ever, and I'm the only reason why we're losing. And, you know, and that, that's, you know, Zach Caleros, after the Bombers lost the Grey Cup on Sunday, said, like, it's the quarterback way, right? The quarterback way is you blame yourself and solely yourself when the bad things happen. You spread the talent or you spread the credit around to your teammates when things are happening that are good. And it's kind of the goaltender way too.
Yeah.
I can name one or two Flames goalies that, you know, maybe didn't go down that road, but, you know, most goalies,
won't.
I won't, but most goalies in the NHL, the goalies that are on this team right now and for the last number, Markstrom, Vladar, Wolf, like, these guys have all been this way. You know, when things are good, it's like, yeah, I feel good, but it's because of my teammates.
Guys in front of me.
When things are bad, it's like, yeah, I let the team down. I'm the worst, and I'm the reason why we've lost. So I always appreciate that. So you expect nothing less from Dustin. And also head coach Ryan Huska was asked about it on Monday as well.
It's November. I mean, I don't think I would even go there yet. I mean, I love the guy, and I think he's done an excellent job. And as I said, the comment about minor hockey, if you do enough and you earn it, people are going to recognize it. But we are way too early for any of that talk, in my opinion.
So, Ryan Huska, as you'd expect from a head coach, is not ready to be having those conversations as it stands right now. And I mean, I think you understand from a head coaching perspective as well why, you know, maybe those conversations might be a little premature in his eyes as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's what? I'm doing napkin math here, but what, 64 games left in the season somewhere in that ballpark?
Yep, 64.
So 64, if they're still doing their 50-50 split, that's going to be 32 starts still to remain. That would be 9 of 41 in the books for Dustin Wolf. So, yeah, maybe a little premature to be talking about this, but it's what everybody's talking about. So why not jump on board and have a conversation about what the likelihood is? Because, and I'll be perfectly honest, we go back to September, 18th when camp opened? I didn't imagine on November 18th, 2 months later, we'd be talking about Dustin Wolf as a Calder nominee, potentially. And that is not an indictment on Dustin Wolf, the goaltender. It was more of a, okay, what's he dealing with the team in front of him? Well, they've held up for the most part. But Dustin Wolf, again, you ran through the metrics. The second highest 5-on-5 save percentage in the league this year.
Tied
for second. How do you argue that from a, I can't believe this kid is doing it perspective?
Well, and 10th, tied for 10th, just an overall save percentage, minimum 100 games played. 100 games. Minimum 100.
Long season.
100 minutes played. And to answer my own question and to answer the question that I sent out to the text line, yes, of course it's too early. Like, we're aware that it's only November 18th. We're aware there are 64 games still to be played. Like, of course, in reality, it's too early. But I don't think it's too early to be having the conversation about it. I don't think it's too early to be having the conversation about what he's done as a rookie so far. And I don't think it's too early to be talking about, you know, the excitement that is continually building around this player. So, yes, naming anybody the Calder Trophy winner on November 18th is the picture of foolishness because there are still so many games to be played by every team in this league. But I also think, first of all, there's no rules. Like,
I can do what I want.
I can do what I want. promise to me that you'll never do another rule again. There are no rules. There are no rules. And of course we can be talking about this because I know a ton of Flames fans are talking about this right now, which I think is legit. Like, be excited about good things. We don't always have to slap you down when you're excited about things. We don't always have to give you the taste of reality. I'm done being that guy. Like, go wild. Like, he's having a hell of a year. He just posted his first shutout. He's the best rookie goaltender in the NHL through the first month. He's been one of the better goaltenders in the NHL through the first month. Like, let's have some fun with it. Let's be excited about something good happening with the Calgary Flames.
Well, and just to put it into some franchise perspective, he's off to the best rookie start from a goaltender in over 25 years. Like, that 921 save percentage historically is the second best to this point. Tyler Moss in 1998-99 posted a 922 save percentage over 11 games that season. Dustin Wolf is certainly going to play more than 11 games, but as it stands, his 921 is only second to Moss. His 253 goals against is only second to Moss and Andrei Trefilov. Now, let's not get too tied up in the names he's being associated with here.
Andrei Trefilov.
But the fact of the matter remains is this is one of the best rookie seasons from a goalie in Flames franchise history. Now, it's on Dustin Wolf to continue it. But the fact that he is posting these numbers in behind this team, managing to not only survive in the NHL, but thrive in the NHL, is you gotta tip your cap to him.
I think that there are better things to compare him to than rookie play.
I'm just saying organizationally, this is rare air.
This is not an organization with a storied goaltending history. So, like, you know, maybe there are some other guys that we can get to in a second that might put him in better company. First of all, let's throw out on November 18th, all teams are approaching their quarter mark of the season. Who are the other kind of guys in the Calder mix right now? I think that I would throw out, and you tell me, like, here's three names. I mean, Matvei, all you got to do is go take a look at rookie scoring. Matvei Michkov's legit. He's almost point per game. I know he's been healthy scratch, but he's almost a point per game as a rookie. I think that he would be your front runner right now. I think Logan Stankoven is right there with him again, almost point per game. The thing about Stankoven is, he played 24 games as a rookie last year, but didn't hit the Calder Trophy 25-game threshold, one under it.
If Sergei Makarov is going to get a Calder, I mean, different rules
they
at the
made,
time.
They
but...
made the, they changed the rule because 42-year-old Sergei Makarov won the Calder Trophy with the Flames in 1990. It wasn't 42, but he was older than, I think he was in his 30s. They changed the rule because of that. And again, Stankoven is still eligible for the Calder, so he's in the conversation. And I think you got to put Lane Hutson in there. The market that he plays in, the minutes that he's playing as a rookie defenseman.
North of 23 minutes a night.
Did Brock Faber win it last year? Or did he finish second to Bedard? I don't remember now.
I think he finished second to Bedard.
I think he finished second to Bedard.
But
okay.
Faber is different player than Lane Hutson. Same sort of scenario. I'm not saying that. No, I'm agreeing with you here, Pat. Pick your head up. It was a rookie defenseman who sort of came out of nowhere and played north of 23 minutes a night to put himself on the map. I'm not disagreeing with you here.
I just love when you go semantics.
That wasn't even semantics.
A little bit.
Not even a little bit.
Look, we're bickering like an old married couple.
Oh, it's great to have you back, pal.
It's my favorite.
Can we send you on the next flight back to Vancouver?
Because of the market he plays in, because of the minutes he's playing as a rookie defenseman, and the points he's putting up, I think Lane Hutson is going to be in the Calder Trophy conversation all year long, too. Celebrini might enter it. You know, he got hurt, but he's almost a point per game himself with fewer games played. And Macklin Celebrini probably is still, if you go to betting sites, I haven't looked, but is probably one of your front runners for Calder Trophy as well. So Michkov, Celebrini, Hutson, Stankoven, that's tough company to be in as a goaltender. But let me tell you this, like, I think it is extremely difficult for a goaltender to ever win the Calder Trophy in this day and age. It's kind of like,
especially now, like,
with how good rookies are.
Well, there's that, but how you typically don't see a starting goalie, never mind a rookie starting goalie, play north of 60 games.
Very true. And I mean, you don't see goaltenders win the Hart Trophy ever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's so rare that you see Carey Price did it. Hasek's done it a couple times. It's so rare. Jose Theodore did it, but we don't talk
about that. And I wonder if Lane Hutson automatically wins the Calder. Who knows?
I mean, all it takes is, you know what? This player, let's leave him off the ballot. I'm not saying that happened at any point when Jerome McGinley should have won the Hart Trophy. We digress. It's very similar to the Hart Trophy in that it's so hard. The last time a goaltender won the Hart Trophy was Carey Price in 2014-15. The last goaltender to do it before that was Dominic Hasek when he did it in the late 90s twice. It's the same with the Calder Trophy, and the history would suggest it. The last time a goaltender won the Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year was Steve Mason in 2008-09. He had a hell of a year playing. He went 33-20-7. That's 60 games with a .916 save percentage. You know, you play 60, put up a .916 on a horrid Columbus team, you probably should win the Calder Trophy. That's the last goalie to do it. That's more than 15 years ago. Since that time, quick little count. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 goalies have been Calder Trophy finalists since Steve Mason won it 16 years ago. Those goalies in order of most recent to less recent would be Stuart Skinner, who did it 2 years ago with the Oilers. Alex Nedeljkovic did it in the shortened 56-game season. Jordan Binnington did it in 18-19 when the Blues won the Cup. And then before that, you had to go almost a full decade back to Jimmy Howard, who did it with Detroit in 2009-10. So since the last goaltender who won the Calder, four goalies have been finalists. None have won it. I think Wolf has got a chance to be a finalist. I think that he should have a chance to be a finalist if he continues to play at a fairly decent level. I think right now on November 18th, he deserves to be in this very early conversation. And I guess the biggest thing for me before we hit the text line, it's just good for him for making this a conversation that people aren't snickering over. Like, if you're listening in Edmonton or you're listening in Vancouver and you hear the Flames Talk host talking about a guy up for the Calder Trophy, like, Calgary guys. Dustin Wolf's been the best rookie goaltender and one of the best rookies in the NHL to start the year, and I don't think statistically you can deny that. Whether or not that vaults him above the skaters like Hutson and Michkov and Celebrini and Stankoven, I don't know when it's all said and done, but I think he damn well deserves to be in the conversation that we're having.
Absolutely. My only concern, again, is going to be the workload. Like, you go back to Stuart Skinner when he was a finalist and didn't win the award, but back in 22-23, like you mentioned, he played 50 games. You go back to Steve Mason, he was right in at that 60-game mark.
He was at 60.
So if you...
60 results, anyway.
60 results, 61 games he played in. If Dustin Wolf can get in and around that 50-game mark, and that would mean fewer starts for a Dan Vladar, for example... Well, one, that's a positive from an organizational standpoint, because Dustin Wolf isn't going to be gifted those starts in place of Dan Vladar. It means he's continuing his sort of high bar of play. So a tick in the column for that, which means he'll be relevant in the Calder conversation and will have a larger body of work to sort of draw voters in from.
On the text line, Denny from Standoff, Wolf should be in the conversation. If he saved that Moore goal, we're talking about back-to-back shutouts. Very true. This says they should give Wolf the next three home starts. We'll see how that goes. This says the last two goalies nominated for the Calder both played less than 35 games in a year. Not true. Skinner played far more than that 2 years ago. I think he was up over 50. But, yeah, fair
enough. He was 50 right on the nose.
50 on the nose? Okay. Yeah. This says all three goalies seem to be playing very well, which puts Craig Conroy in the driver's seat going forward. Could we see a deal? Absolutely, we might at some point. He's also talking about Vladar and Devin Cooley in the American League. This reads, in support of Wolf, and you guys have commented on this, the goaltending has kept the Flames in more games at certain times than not. That goes for both Wolf and Vladar, so I don't know how that affects rookie votes, but I'd say the Flames' goaltending has been the most impactful of any tandem in the league this year. This says Dustin Wolf should definitely be considered. Impressive stats, stealing wins. Rookie goalies don't come around often. Last rookie to win the Calder, Steve Mason, I think, in 2008-09. Indeed, you are correct. This says at 960, hey, you two bozos, he won every individual award possible in every league he's played in, so why wouldn't he win it? That's Jerry from Okotoks. Jerry, you're grumpy for no reason, but
I like him.
You would. You would like him.
He was even WHL Scholastic Player of the Year.
That's true.
Ridiculous.
Dale says, very premature. If you want suggestions, asks. This says, when is it time to start giving Wolf more starts? Maybe get him up to 55 games this season. Not there yet, because Vladar has played at a very similar level than he has. Well, he also has one of the top 5-on-5 save percentages in the NHL.
Well, to your point, the Calgary Flames as a whole have the NHL's highest 5-on-5 save percentage at 94.25. Yeah, that's a weird way to say it.
943?
If you want to round up, yes. Semantics.
Because people are always saying 94.25.
94.25%.
That's usually how we talk about save percentages. Yeah. That's
okay. You're the grumpy Gus now.
You've got me into this mood. This says, I'd say it's been long enough since a goalie won the Calder. They'd probably be willing to give Wolf a closer look. That comes from Aaron. This from Rory in the Beltline. Welcome back, Pat. Maybe too early to crown Wolfie with the Calder at this point in the season, but he does deserve to be in the conversation without a doubt. All of the other rookies who are part of the discussion are just so far into the season as Wolfie, albeit playing every game since none are goalies, but that's beside the point. Whether he wins it or not, I think he's having a fantastic season and he'll continue to get more comfortable as the season progresses. Pretty exciting to see his progression so far this season. This says, finally, from Matt and Cochran, unlike Hudson, Faber played great for Minnesota with Spurgeon out of the lineup. That comes from Matt in Cochran. Good stuff on the text line at 960-960. Yes, it's early. Of course it is. But doesn't make it completely illegitimate either. Steinberg, Vickers, along with you this hour of Flames Talk, coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Happy Monday. We're closing out this hour with our buddy Tori Peterson from CalgaryFlames.com and the Flames digital crew. She joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Lots to dive into. The CalgaryFlames.com Monday Prospects Report is up, which we will dive into pretty thoroughly, and a whole lot more with Piz right now. Tori, it's your first chat with us this year. It's been too long. I mean, I talk to you daily, but, you know, on top of the first time on Flames Talk this year. What's going on?
I know. We've been very busy. We've all been very busy. It doesn't feel like November 18th.
I know. I agree. And it's good to have you on. I hope you're well. We've got a few prospects we want to dive into in the college and junior hockey ranks, and we'll do that. But I guess we have to start with this AHL Wranglers team that just continues to be a wagon. Hey, number one in the Western Conference, number one in the Pacific Division, 12 wins. Like this has been another outstanding start for Trent Culls' group, hey?
Oh, they have been so good to start the year. I know there's a lot of question marks. With, you know, Dustin Wolf is likely going to be with the Flames, and now he is full-time. How is the goaltending going to rebound as Oscar Dansk isn't there? The duo there obviously have done tremendously well, and they've had contributions up and down the lineup, so I don't think Trent Call could have asked for a better start to this season. It's been really exciting for Wranglers fans.
Well, and I mean, you know, you've got some of the young forwards from Pelche to Cairns. You've got a really young blue line that's playing a ton of big minutes, and you've got Brestevich and Solovyov and Kuznetsov. Like, it's not a... There's the important veterans on this Wranglers team, but we're not talking about like a super veteran-laden group. It's been, more than anything, a bunch of Flames prospects leading the way here.
Yeah, if you're like, and you're starting to look at the points going up and down the lineup, and Cairns has led them. He's at 17 points on the year. But right behind him is Walker Duehr, Jacob Pelche, Sam Morton, Dryden Hunt, William Strongram. Like, that's really, really promising for the Flames' future and really showcases the development of talent at that level and how strong it's been in Calgary. And I think Flames fans, if you have a chance to get out to a Wranglers games this season, you will not be disappointed. It's really fun. The team is really good. And like we've talked about, like, they're very exciting hockey players. And you're watching guys who could easily with the Flames this season, next season, or maybe a few years down the line.
Yep, for sure. Adam Klapka is about a point per game down there too, plus some time in the NHL. Yeah, a lot of good things happening with the Wranglers. Okay, let's move to some of the Flames prospects that aren't playing in the AHL right now. And we'll start with the guy that was drafted in 2023. Adar Suniev came over as part of that Tyler Toffoli trade. He was the third round pick the Flames got in that trade with the Devils. They used it at that draft. And boy, after a really great freshman year with UMass, he's having an even better sophomore season, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to blow past what were impressive freshman numbers. I mean, he put up 12 goals last year in 36 games, which is very impressive for a true freshman. He was 18 at the time. He's already at 8 goals in 12 games, so he's going to blow past that. And I think he put up 25 last year. He's already at 14 points. So, again, that number is going to be blown out of the water. He's been their best player at UMass. He's such an impressive shooter. His shot accuracy and the power behind it is really impressive for a kid who's not fully physically developed at this point. He is only, he just turned 20 this week, actually. So he's not exactly, you know, a veteran on that roster, and he's been able to lead them, and they've been really good. And I could see him being the scoring leader by the end of the season there at UMass.
And I mean, you, even last year, when you took a look at some of his highlights, you're like, goodness gracious, that puck explodes off his stick, and it seems like that's been the case even more so this year. He was part of the draft class in 2023, and then there's the 2024 draft class. We want to focus in on a few of the guys from that draft class. The one that, and we'll kind of go out of order and third round, first round, sixth round, whatever. Let's start in the third round with Henry Muse of the Ottawa 67s. He went 74th overall, and he's off to a really nice start with the 67s.
He's been tremendous with the 67s. Offensively, maybe a tiny bit of a slow start to the season, but he's really made up for it as we get into the second month. He's has 23 points in 19 games, so really impressive start for him. I think he's sitting fourth in OHL defenseman scoring, and he's just behind Zane Parekh and a fellow Flames prospect. So he's really dynamic offensively, and I was really surprised that he fell to the third round, given what he did last in his draft eligible season in 2023. So it's going to be an exciting year to watch him. When he was drafted, I believe he put up just under a point per game in his draft eligible season. So that's why I'm a little surprised he went in the third round. And you're seeing that was no fluke this year. So he's been really fun to watch and such a key component on that Ottawa 67's blue line.
Yeah, 61 points in 65 games last year, now 23 in 19 to start his third year in the Ontario Hockey League for Henry Muse. Second round pick, the Flames had 2 second round picks in Vegas. They used their first one on Calgary kid Andrew Basha of the Medicine Hat Tigers, and their second one about 20 picks later was Jacob Battaglia of the Kingston Frontenacs, and boy, he was just under a point per game last year in his second OHL year. Now in his third OHL year, he is well above point per game.
Oh my God, he has had a great start to the season. I don't think you could ask for anything more from Jacob Battaglia. 14 goals through 22 games and 31 points. So it really evens, like, with the assists and the goals there, which is nice to see the well-rounded game. He has been lights out for Kingston. So, he was a second-round pick last year, and there was high hopes. So I don't think anyone expected him to start this year on this hot of a tear. He's just a really good all-around player. So I'm excited to watch him this year and see how he develops.
We'll stay in the Ontario League, and the ninth overall selection was Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit, and he's now played 18 games in his third Ontario Hockey League season, the reigning CHL Defenseman of the Year. 23 points in 18 games for Parekh. Those are the numbers, but I think when it comes to Zane, we're looking at more than just the offensive numbers because we know what he brings there. There's a whole lot more to that conversation with the first round pick, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. He's such a dynamic player. I think the best term I've seen to describe his game, and even if he doesn't show up on the score sheet, he's involved in every play. He bends like opponents to his will. He's able to really manipulate his opponents with how he plays and that really high hockey IQ. So even if his name isn't necessarily on the score sheet, he is involved in every play, opening up a ton of space for his teammates. And you've seen his defensive game grow a lot because that is one thing that you always want to see with high-end offensive defensemen is the defensive side of the game needs to start to come into play a little bit as they progress throughout their career. And you've seen that this year with him. I think he's been defensively extremely strong.
There was the second round pick in Calgary product, Andrew Bacha. And then there was another Calgary pick the Flames went to in the sixth round out of the Everett Silver Tips. And that is the defenseman Eric Jamieson, you know, big and kind of that, you know, has a lot of the size that you want on the blue line and still has a lot of room to grow into that frame. Now in his third full season in the Western League, we leave the Ontario League and go to Everett in the Western League. Tell us about Eric Jamieson and what we've seen from him in his first year as a member of the Flames organization.
Yeah, I remember watching him but during his draft eligible season, and he's a big shutdown guy, like you mentioned. He's very physical. He's not afraid to punish his opponents physically. So a little bit different than the other defensemen drafted ahead of him in that draft class. But you're seeing a little bit more of an offensive upside from him this season. Through 19 games, he has 8 points already. For a shutdown guy, that's pretty decent. He's also like a natural-born leader. He's wearing the C in Everett. He wore the A last year. So it's been you've seen the development of his game offensively, obviously a big guy like we mentioned, but I think the leadership skills are something that is really nice to see in these young guys. Like, he's taken a step that way. Guys follow him there, and it's really nice to see him lead by example.
We're chatting with Tori Peterson of CalgaryFlames.com. We're diving in on some of the top Flames prospects, as we do a few times a year with Piz. Tori, and all this, every Monday, right? The prospects report, the farm report over at CalgaryFlames.com. What can we find there each and every Monday?
Yeah, so every Monday, now Chris Wall is doing it. He is a rock star. He's taken it over for me this year, and I believe last year as well, honestly.
Much.
I know, we always give him a hard time, but he truly is a rock star. Also had a birthday this weekend, so happy birthday, Chris. He's been amazing at that, and that's every Monday, and if we're playing, it will be on the Tuesday. So it kind of follows that way. And then we also have the farm report, which Annie Nadine from our Wranglers team puts together and kind of highlights what has happened in the last week, what's coming up. If there's tickets available for games, they're linked in there too. So we've got a full slate of prospect stuff on Mondays. Mondays is prospect day on CalgaryFlames.com.
I love it. And Chris Wall is an absolute beauty. I can't make fun for too long because we love him so much. And Tori, you're also super involved with a lot of the community initiatives that the Flames and the Flames Foundation are involved in. You know, you and Candace of the Flames Foundation work in concert a lot of the time to get the word out on a lot of these things. So I want to wrap up our conversation with some of those things that are happening right now. And first of all, tell us about CGY Champs. What's happening there? Why it's so important? So on and so forth. Give us the lowdown on CGY Champs.
It's an awesome new program that is being developed here and launches on Wednesday. So it's a health and wellness online program that's designed for K-8 students that involves athletes from all five of the CSEC teams. And it's a complimentary program for educators. So it offers dynamic, student-driven content that really helps kids develop essential life skills, you know, goal-setting, leadership, resilience, things like that. So it has interactive lessons, gamified rewards for students, and it's ready-made curriculum for educators. So that does launch officially on Wednesday, November 20th. And if teachers or educators want to get involved, you can go to cgychamps.ca and register there. Again, it's totally a complimentary program, so we're really excited to bring this into the community and have educators have access to this, what we think is just an incredible program.
I know when we spoke with Candace earlier this year and there was that contribution that the Flames Foundation announced, as they do to begin every year. This was one that she was so proud of, because it really is. It's a brand new initiative, and a lot of brainstorming, a lot of work, a lot of preparation went into CGY Champs, hey?
Oh, a ton. And we've had an incredible partner with Classroom Champions on this. They've been amazing. Just a great organization to work with. And it's so awesome to have Desjardins Insurance come on as a proud supporter of it as well. So we've had nothing but rave reviews from everyone involved. And it's had so many people working so hard on creating this program. So we're really excited to see the launch on Wednesday.
Now, Flames coming off a big win on Friday against Nashville, Dustin Wolf's first shutout. And then Just an absolutely dreadful loss today against the Townsend Tigers. And I'm curious. Like, does that alter morning skate plans tomorrow on
Tuesday? I don't know. Well, they may need to add an extra 30 minutes to the morning skate. That's 41 straight losses to the Townsend Tigers since the annual wheelchair game started at the Alberta Children's Hospital. Just, it's such an incredible afternoon. The guys all love doing it. It's just like, there's no issues. You'll clear schedules. You'll make sure you're there for wheelchair hockey every year. The kids love it. The team loves, I think the team loves it more than the kids, to be honest with you. They have a blast.
That's awesome.
But it's such an incredible program that has been running since, I believe, 1980. So not very many years missed in there. So pretty incredible program. And again, it's just an absolute blast every year to go out to the Alberta Children's Hospital and spend that afternoon with the kids.
Good mix and a win, though. 41 straight losses.
Today wasn't even close.
Was it 10-3 the final score? Yeah. Just great.
Not even close.
We'll ask Husk about that on Tuesday morning. And finally, tell us about, I know how proud the digital department has been of the Chase and the behind-the-scenes program that your group started going all the way back to Penticton and the Young Stars Classic through training camp. And now here we are more than a month into the regular season. The Chase still rolling, hey?
Yes, still rolling. We've got another episode upcoming. So that's getting set up right now. But the most recent release was All Around Backs, obviously 1,000 games, all with the same team. Incredible, incredible milestone. And like you said, there's been so much effort being put into this, and we love that fans are really responding to it. And we're also proud of everyone who's involved. Ryan Dietrich has really led the charge there. Brendan Parker has been really involved. And so we're all very, very proud of the product that's being put forth, and we can't wait to shoot another episode. So that's coming up for sure.
And I have not prepped you for this final question. But you know how much I love you, and you know how in tune I am with everything in Tory Peterson's life. Who's winning on Saturday night, Orlando or Washington?
I'm giving it to Orlando.
Okay.
I would really like to see Marta end her career, likely, with a championship. They've also been incredible. Like, they absolutely dominated the NWSL this year. I don't really have a stake in it per se. Like, I'm not a fan of either team, but if I were to have a sway, I would go Orlando.
Orlando Pride, Washington Spirit, NWSL championship on Saturday in Kansas City. I was like, wow, I have to ask Piz about that before we go. And because, you know, I got to show everybody all the other different muscles that Piz can flex. So,
You're into the soccer too now. So.
I know. I'm actually like I'm like hyperventilating. Real Madrid's got to go to Liverpool later on this month for Champions League. They're gonna get just rolled over if they keep playing the way they've been playing. So I'm a little nervous about that.
You did pull me in.
You and the city of Madrid have pulled me in, and now I'm obsessed. So
I love it.
You already had me. Like, I pay, for the longest time, I paid more attention to women's soccer than anything in the men's game, and now I'm both. So you and the city of Madrid have turned me into a soccer nerd. Congratulations.
Well, you're welcome.
As long as you're happy to have me, I'm happy.
I'm always happy to have you in the little soccer group here. Okay, so
get out of here. Thanks, Piz. We'll see you on Tuesday morning. Great stuff. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Steinberg.
Tori Peterson of CalgaryFlames.com and the digital team. She's on Twitter at Tori Peterson. And honestly, anything that happens over at on the digital side of CalgaryFlames.com doesn't happen without Piz doing it. So she's always great to talk prospects, what's happening in the organization, what's happening with the foundation. Good to have her on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, using the same secret recipe since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home? Call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Cam Hughes, Shan Virgie, our outstanding producers, Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Of course, my name is Pat Steinberg, and this hour has been The Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.